I'm going to be talking about some exciting new research that I've done on the potential benefits that resin collection has for honeybees. And in the most general sense, it's important because we're actually examining how a variable in the nest environment itself can affect the immune system of individual bees. So just for some general background, bees collect plant resins that some trees produce to protect budding leaves against parasites and pathogens. And when they collect it, they pack it on their hind legs, on their corbicula where they would pack pollen, and then they bring it back to the hive and spread it around the entire nest cavity, and this is really for feral colonies. They line the tree cavity with a thin layer of propolis, and they usually deposit more at the nest entrance to prevent any other intruders from coming into the nest. It's important to note that the bees don't chemically modify propolis. They do mix wax, and oftentimes there are pollen and other things mixed in with the resin, but it's not different chemically per se. So resin and propolis can be used interchangeably, and I'll likely use them interchangeably in this talk. So there are some implications that this behavior has. One is that foraging for this rather sticky substance is pretty energetically demanding for a bee. It takes the bees quite a long time to collect these resins, and then when they return to the hive, it takes even longer to unload than it would other foraging items. And additionally, it provides no direct individual reward like foraging for nectar would. So in light of this, there are some interesting findings from the bee genome studies that found a reduction in immune-based gene families in honeybees as compared to solitary insects. And they hypothesized that there are some behavioral mechanisms that honeybees use to compensate for this reduction. And we think that resin collection is one of these behaviors. One of these reasons is because the properties of propolis in terms of its antimicrobial activity for human health has been extensively studied, and propolis is active against all sorts of gram-positive bacteria, viruses, and even things like tumor cells. It's also important to note that propolis from different regions varies chemically and can have vastly different activities based on region. Another line of evidence has been done recently through studies with a Swiss wood ant that collects resin and deposits resin globules throughout the nest material. And they found through three studies that nests with resin have overall less microorganisms than colonies without resin, and that the resin actually allows these ants to invest less in their immune system, shown by a reduction in antimicrobial compounds in the hemolymph. And they've also found that individual ants housed with resin under laboratory conditions have increased survival when challenged with experimental pathogens. So my specific question is to determine if resin collection is, in fact, a colony-level mechanism of disease resistance in honeybees. And specifically with this talk, I'm asking if resin collection and resin in the hive affects the immune system of individual honeybees. So for my experimental design, I combined five source colonies that I've indicated here, and then I combined all of those bees, and then I distributed them equally among my 18 experimental colonies that were part of three treatments: Minnesota propolis, Brazilian propolis, or control colonies. I also marked bees that emerged in these source colonies, and then distributed those equally across my experimental colonies. A week later, I collected these 7-day-old marked bees for analysis of their immune system profiles, and then I also collected 7-day-old bees that had emerged in these experimental colonies. So for my treatments, I had, again, the Minnesota propolis and the Brazilian propolis, and I painted the walls of my colonies with propolis extract, and this is to mimic that propolis envelope that you see in the feral colonies. And then for the control, I painted those colonies with the 70% ethanol, which is the solvent for my propolis extracts. to analyze the immune systems, I did some work in Jay Evans' lab at the USDA in Beltsville. And basically what I did was I extracted RNA from whole bees using a standard RNA aqueous protocol. And then I generated cDNAs and assay transcript abundances using real-time PCR for several different genes. I used actin as my housekeeping or reference gene. And then the immune genes I looked at were abacin, defensin 1, apidacin, hemoptacin, and AM eater. And then I also looked at a generic eubacterial 16S gene to assess the general bacterial loads in my colonies. So these immune-related genes that I was looking at, I mostly looked at the antimicrobial peptides, and these are known to be produced in response to infections or the presence of foreign objects in the hemolymph. And it's important to note that a chronic high production of these antimicrobial peptides can actually have a colony-level fitness cost. I did look at one gene involved in the cellular immune defense, and that's the eater gene. And these are also known to increase in response to infection, and they're involved in things like phagocytosis. So in terms of my results so far, I had two genes that had significant findings, and that's hemoptacin and the eater gene. So this is a graph of results for hemoptacin, and this is with the 7-day-old source bees. So these were the bees that emerged in the source colonies, and then we immediately put them into these experimental colonies. And on my y-axis, I have the relative expression of hemoptacin, and that is, again, relative to actin. And on the x-axis, I have my three treatments, the Brazil and Minnesota propolis and the control, and the ends are the number of bees that I sampled for each. And here you can see that the two propolis treatments, those bees produce less hemoptacin than in the control colonies, so the bees that are in this propolis-rich environment are investing less in their immune system by producing less hemoptacin. And for the eater gene, again on the y-axis, it's the relative expression, and that's relative to actin. And here all the values are negative because overall the eater gene had a lower expression than actin. And here you have the Brazilian propolis is significantly different from the control with less expression of this eater gene, with the Minnesota propolis being an intermediate. So again, at least in the Brazilian propolis, the bees are able to invest less in their immune system by producing less of this eater gene. So it's also important to note that based on that generic eubacterial gene, there were no differences in bacterial loads, and these colonies were not challenged with pathogens at all. So these are changes that we're seeing in baseline levels just due to the environment. But it's important also to note that lab studies indicate that if we do challenge these colonies with pathogens, we might expect to see either greater changes due to propolis or changes in these other genes as well. And one study that suggests is one that we did with the causative agent of American foulbrood, which is a deadly honeybee bacterial pathogen. And we found that propolis, both Brazilian and Minnesota propolis, does effectively inhibit the growth of this bacteria, again, in lab cultures. So for future experiments, we will challenge colonies and or caged bees with pathogens. And we'll repeat using higher doses of propolis. And I'm also going to look at the immune profiles of colonies that we have selectively bred for high and low resin collection, and we're really interested to look at this. And just to wrap up some conclusions, again, we found significant differences for two of the immune-related genes, the hemoptacin and the eater gene, and this is after a relatively short exposure time to this resin-rich environment. And these colonies weren't challenged with pathogens, so again, we're looking at differences in baseline levels just due to the environment. And this is all important for general bee health because a decreased investment in immune function could have potential impact on colony productivity. And again, in the most general sense, this is a really cool finding because we're finding that the nest environment alone is affecting immune expression on honeybees. So with that, I'd just like to say thanks for your time.
We got time for questions, 2 minutes.
So you think the propolis might chemically be suppressing the immune system, which in some ways sounds bad.
No, we don't. The question was, is propolis chemically suppressing the immune system? And we don't think it's an actual suppression of the immune system. We'd have to do some tests where we actually injected those bees with something like E. coli to see if they have an effect. We can't rule it out, but based on studies like the ant systems where they are increasing survival and reducing the pathogens, we think it's a reduction in bacterial load that's allowing these bees to invest less in their immune system. Well, we didn't find differences here, but that's potentially because we used the whole bee, and so we don't think the bacterial loads in the hemolymph of like the endosymbiotic bacteria would be affected by propolis. So that's one possibility. No, so we, the propolis extracts came from propolis that we extracted from hives. So they sent us propolis, raw propolis from Brazil, and then we extracted that in ethanol. And then we collected raw propolis from several different Minnesota colonies. So we're actually using the propolis and not the resin. No, there's a really small, the question was if the high and low propolis lines affects the overall foraging behavior. We're not, we're sort of in the beginning stages of this breeding program, but the subset of resin foragers is rather low, and not, and bees don't seem to be exclusively resin foragers. They might be exclusively resin foragers for a day, but they seem to switch, and so it doesn't seem to affect the overall foraging level. Thank you.